Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 3 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel chapter 30. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading to it or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. Here we are right almost at the end of this book. And if you're just now joining, if you're just now getting into the 10-week Bible study, I encourage you, contemplate, think about what it would do to your life if you read or had the Bible read to you, if you listened to it 10 times in 10 weeks. It really makes a huge difference. You get the word in you when you just repeat it over and over and over again. You don't have to slow down or stop for comprehension or any of that. It's actually amazing how much comprehension you get when you just repeat it over and over, reading it or having it read to you. You really will get it in you. This is the secret to meditating on God's word day and night, like David said in Psalm chapter 1. Reading it, studying it day after day after day, it will get in you and you will think about it. You will think about the Lord. You will pray over it without even thinking about it. It's not even something that you have to force yourself to do. It just comes, and it's so wonderful when you do it. That's the power of the 10-week Bible study. So if you're just now getting started with this, I encourage you, make a plan to read God's word once a week for 10 weeks. Take a book at a time, like we're doing with Samuel. We're going to be moving on to 1 Samuel next, or 2 Samuel next week. So I encourage you, make a plan to study that, read that once a week for 10 weeks. It really will change your life. But for now, let's go ahead and jump into God's word after we pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us. Open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us. Teach us today from your word. Fill our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So here, let's just take this a little bit by little bit here. For starters, we've talked about how David had gotten himself into this web of lies and had actually found himself traveling with the king of Gath to go and attack the Israelites. He is traveling with a Philistine king to go and attack the Israelites. And here we find out just how serious that had gotten. David had traveled a day, or he'd traveled 3 days away. 3 days away from Ziklag and Gath is how far David had gotten. That's pretty much right there in Israel where they were going to do the attacking. David was right there near the front lines, ready to attack Saul. That's how close this web of lies got him to being in the worst situation imaginable for him. This would have been disastrous. It's a 3-day journey for David and his men to get back to Ziklag. That's just how close things came. When they get back, they found that the Amalekites, the sworn enemies of the Israelites, had attacked Ziklag and the Negev, which is this desert region in the south. And, you know, it's interesting to think, were the Amalekites attacking this kind of Philistine area because they knew that the Philistines had left to go attack Israel? Did they think, well, hey, we can swoop in and we can raid these unprotected cities because it's just going to be the wives and children? You know, they'll be sitting ducks. Maybe it was just coincidence. Maybe they had planned some raids and they just lucked out that David and his men weren't there. because we're going to find out if David and his men had been there, it would have been a very quick battle indeed. Or were the Amalekites going specifically to Ziklag? Were they looking for David to exact revenge on him for what he had done? Maybe they had heard that David had gone with the Philistines and they were attacking Ziklag to exact revenge on him while he was gone. They were probably afraid of him, and rightly so. So whether it was by coincidence or chance or it was intentional, whatever the reason, the Amalekites made off with everything. Everything of value that David and his men had. But far worse than that, they took their wives and their children. So when they get there, they have nothing. All of these men had traveled with David. These are all, most of them are Israelites. Some of them we'll find out if we dig deep into David's story in Chronicles. We'll find that not all of these men are Israelites, but most of them are. And they've traveled with David to go attack Israel. They've traveled with David and the Philistines to go attack Israel. And here when they get back, everything's gone. They've lost all confidence in David. They've lost everything they have. And they're bitter over this. I mean, not bitter as in angry and mad at David, you know, bitterness that festers over time, like the bitterness of loss. This is terrible. This is the worst moment any of these men have ever experienced. Everything they have, all of their loved ones are gone in an instant. And it was because they were off doing something they knew they shouldn't have been doing in the first place. And David had led them there. And so they're done. They're just absolutely done following David now. David has lost them everything. They went to David because they thought they had everything to gain by surrounding him. This crown, this anointed king of Israel, they thought they had everything to gain by helping him. And now, after years of following him, just running and hiding, now they've lost everything. And so now they're going to kill him. They're going to stone David to death because they're tired of it. And David hears this. It must have been the worst moment in his life. After all of the running from Saul, he's lost a wife. He's lost everything he had. But along the way, he gained some things back. But now he's lost it all. And now they're going to kill him. They're literally talking about killing him. And they're not hiding it from him. He knows this. This is a very low moment. But I love what David does. David found strength in the Lord his God. Other translations say that David strengthened himself in God. In the lowest moment in David's life, he didn't do like Saul and turn away from the Lord. The lowest point in David's life, he turned back to the Lord. The Lord was trying to get David's attention. David knew he shouldn't have been going off with Achish, king of Gath. He knew that. He shouldn't have led these men there. And the Lord is getting his attention. He doesn't want David to do this anymore. He wants David to right this course. And he's going to get his attention. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. Remember that they had actually wept so much that they had no strength left in them before they started on this. So some of them are so tired, and they've already traveled 3 days before then coming back from the attack on the Israelites. Verse 11, they found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water and drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and 2 cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, "Who do you belong to? Where do you come from?" He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kirathites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me down to this raiding party? He answered, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind in the Besor Valley. They came out to meet David and the men with him. As David and his men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they did not go with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. So right here, we see that they've just had this tremendous victory. Nothing that had been taken, as far as wives, children, no one had been killed. And most of their stuff, or maybe all of their stuff, was recovered, and then some. So they recovered the plunder that these guys had taken from Judah and from the Philistines who had been raided because they were gone. And so they're coming back, and you see just how angry. It almost looks like this band of David's followers is going to disband. They're so angry. The 400 men who come back, they see the 200 men and say, you can't have any of the plunder because you didn't join with us. Just take your wives and children and go away. And it's kind of like we're so done with David. Just take the stuff. We're keeping it, but we're done. We're all going to go our own directions from here on out. We don't trust David. We don't want to be around David anymore. It's like everything is falling apart, even though David has gone and recovered everything and then some. I mean, they're wealthier than when they set out. And David sees this. He sees that things are about to fall apart if he doesn't do something. And this is what he says, verse 23. David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is the same as that of him who went down to battle. All will share alike. David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this. When David reached Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, here is a gift to you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies. David sent it to those who were in Bethel, Ramoth Negev, and Jatir, to those in Aror, Sifmoth, Eshtemoa and Rechal, and those in the towns of the Jeremelites and the Kenites, to those in Hormah, Borashan, Athak, and Hebron, and to all those in other places where he and his men had roamed. You didn't think that I was going to be able to read all of those names, did you? David here is very diplomatic. He's being a politician now. We're seeing some of the evolution of David. David has always known that he's going to be king. And so as we've kind of talked about, as the book has progressed, you know, David has been not forthcoming at times with who he thought he was, who he knew he was. But he was always a bit reserved, maybe falsely humble, if nothing else you want to call him. But now he's being an outright politician. He's being outright diplomatic. He has seen what's going to happen. He's almost lost everything multiple times. You know, he came back, he lost everything, his wives and children and all of his stuff, and then they were going to kill him. And he convinced them somehow, don't kill me yet. Let's go and get all our stuff back. Let's see if we can find him. So they chase him and they find the Amalekites and they kill them all. I mean, they fight for like over 24 hours from, you know, overnight, and they chase them, and almost none of them got away. And they bring everything back. And then it almost falls apart on them again all these people are going to send the 200 away, and it's certainly going to break up from there, these 600 men that are with David. And he sees all this falling apart, and David kicks it into high gear here. He starts acting like the king that he was anointed to be. And like it or hate it, that someone involves being a politician, that involves winning the affection and the friendship of those that you need to rule. And that is what David is doing. He's going to take this extra plunder. He's going to recover all of the things that he and his men lost. He's going to pay his men for their trouble. So some of the plunder they keep, and then there's so much plunder from these Amalekites. He takes the excess and he sends it to people in Judah to buy their affection, to buy their loyalty, because now he's kind of planning where things are going. And it might be that he had a mind to know that Saul was not going to defeat this Philistine raid. And so he is moving quickly to shore up allegiance within Judah, his tribe, at the very least, so that when Saul dies at the hands of the Philistines, there will be some leader to take over in Israel and to lead them back to where the Lord wanted them to begin with. And so we see David is now beginning to think of himself as the king that the Lord has appointed and the ruler that Israel needs. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It really is one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.